on my phone, but it's good to see everyone this morning. And yes, today is Friend Day, and we're thankful that you've come, and we hope that you feel welcome. Friendship. I know you think, well, that's kind of crazy. Don't we know what friendship is? Well, the American Society of Sociology did a study and said that the average American only has one friend. And, you know, I think back to all to the memories of my childhood, and every one of my stories starts with, well, Mike, Joe, and Rodney and I. You know, we were like, you ever seen that movie Stand By Me with those little guys that found the dead body? Okay, maybe that's not a cool show for you. But anyway, we're a bunch of those kind of rogue-rat kids that were always in the woods, always at the creek, climbing around the city dump looking for cool stuff and finding cool stuff and dragging it home. That's what we did. And when we weren't dragging it home, we were piling it up and jumping our bikes over it, right? So every story I have starts off with, well, Joe and I, or Mike, Joe and I, or Mike, Joe and Rodney found ourselves here or there, and some of the scars on the back of my head have stories, you know, where I tried to jump something with a skateboard and was suboptimal. You know, just didn't quite stick the landing like I wanted. And but you somebody said you don't have friends like you did when you were seven. And what did he mean by that? Well, when we were kids, we didn't have all this pretense in front of us. We were open and we were honest with each other. We would say whatever came on our mind, right? Just if it was in our head, it fell out our mouth. That's how it was when we were 7 or 8 years old. And we didn't have this facade of I'm okay, you're okay, you just stay over there okay, and we'll be fine. Friendship, I had to look it up in the dictionary to make sure I had it right. Webster says it's a noble, virtuous attachment to someone, stemming from an intimate acquaintance. I mean, it's more than just surface. More, it goes deeper than just, I know their face, I know their name. And it's reciprocated. See, friendship is different than benevolence. Benevolence is just general goodwill. Some people will say, like karma, I'm kind to the person who makes my coffee. I'm kind to the person who makes my burritos. Why? Because I don't want any special sauce. And hopefully, do you know what that is? Special sauce? Yeah, that's when they hack a loogie in your burrito because you're being ugly. Don't do that. Be kind to your barista and you'll get just coffee. But you think, well, that's just karma. You've been good. No, no. Friendship goes deeper than that. And the idea that we only have maybe one friend that we can actually take the mask off, be genuine, be honest, be vulnerable. You know, I find that our ladies find it easier to make friends because it's in your DNA to be open, to confront, to love people. And if you've got a problem with your friend, you'll say something. Where us guys are just like, no, we're good. How you doing, bro? Hey. You know, we keep it surface because we're made to fight. We like to fight. So unless we want to fight, we don't get real deep, but we miss out. Now, if you're like me, you've got social media. You've got some. I know I'm old. So many of you in here don't even use Facebook anymore. But you know, you got Facebook, you got Twitter, you got Snapchat, you got TikTok, you've got all the different social medias. Maybe you've got thousands of friends. I have close to 3,000 friends on Facebook, but. How come we as a society never felt so disconnected before? Lonely, isolated, depressed, discouraged. And it's because it's just a surface connection. It's just, oh, I get to see their pictures. They got another dog. Oh, they got another child. Oh, look at them. They graduated. But we don't actually interact. We don't actually get deeper than just saying hello. And would you believe that the Bible actually has a lot to say about friendship? It really does. We're going to have close to 200 here today in church, and people are going to come. Y'all came. You're going to greet each other. You're going to say hello. You're going to sing and hear the preaching. But are you going to go home and feel connected beyond just a surface acquaintance? Do you have a friend, at least one, that you can share your heart with and be real with? Take your Bible. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Now, this is the first page of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. There's a whole sermon in this little phrase, but I'm not gonna delve into that. I just want you to look at that first phrase, in the beginning, God. That means before that which could be seen, heard, touched, taste, felt, there was just God. And some people have said, well, God created man because he was lonely. And I disagree with that. God does not have needs. God is the self-existent one. Jehovah means the self-existent one. Jah is a name for God, the great and terrible. He is in perfect community with himself, you know, because he's the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They have that mutual relationship, that mutual communion, that adoration, that mutual worship. So, and maybe you've not thought of this, but God the Father is friends with God the Son. And God the Son is friends with the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit's friends with God the Son and God the Father. So why did God create man? Because in perfect friendship, he wanted to share. See, our God doesn't have needs, but our God has desires. He has wants. And even though God doesn't need me, he wanted me. And even though God doesn't need you to exist, he wants you. And why? Because he wants to share that friendship. Take your Bible. Look at Genesis 1 and verse 26. He says, let us make man in our image. There's your references to the Trinity. And let them have dominion. He goes on to give them purpose. He goes, I want to do this. I want to have human beings. I want to share my friendship with them. In Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve had sinned, the Bible says that God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day because that's what they did. Adam and Eve hung out with God. And they'd walk together. Remember that song, In the Garden? Maybe your grandparents knew it. And he walks with me and he talks with me. I love that song because that's what God wants. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. We think God is this old gray-haired looking Charlton Heston guy on an ivory throne way out yonder in the universe when, no, he's right here next to you. He's close by and he wants to have that fellowship, that friendship with you. So God created man to be in friendship with him. Number two, God created mankind to be in friendship with each other. Look at Genesis 2. And verse 18, the first thing, God saw everything that he made was good. But in Genesis 2, verse 18, the first thing that came up that wasn't good was that man should be alone. It is not good that man should be alone. See, mankind's unique. Do you realize the plants don't have friendships? I know that's probably really deep. You know, the celestial bodies, the sun, moon, and stars don't have friendship. And some of you are going to take issue with this, but animals really don't have friendship. They have mates, and some will mate for life, but that's not the same as being a friend. You know, God's plan for you was not that your best friend, they say, well, dogs are man's best friend. Not after she ate my Bible. No, she is not my best friend. You know, my best friend, God's intention for me to have, for my best friend is not the one covered with fur that licks herself. That is not what God intended. Right? But they are. I mean, I love my dogs. I'm a two-dog family. Oh, I don't know what I was thinking, but I got a two-dog family. So, but God intended for us not only to be in fellowship with him and friendship, but in friendship with those around us. I mean, it says in Genesis 1:27 that God made them male and female. He made them different. Yes, but the first human friendship was found in marriage. Look at Genesis 2. And verse number 21, the Bible says, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Does that sound like a surface relationship that somebody friended you on social media? Do you think that's all Adam did was just friend Eve? No, he recognized we have a connection here. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, the next verse we use a lot of times for marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave. The old English word cleave does not mean to cut. The old English, it's changed definitions in the past 400 years. But in the 1611, when this was translated, it meant to weld together. Weld together. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be welded together unto his wife, inseparable. This was the first friendship that went beyond surface. Now, if that's true, why do we find it so hard to be friends with people? Because you can be family and not be friends. Have you noticed that? Huh? Come on now. I got family there, and I love them. And the thing I love most about them is they're 1,500 miles away in Illinois. Right? Okay. I mean, come on. Let's be real for a second. Right? There, if you have a sisters can seem to do this, but bros don't. Bros don't do this. But praise the Lord, you know, if that's not you, then great. You have a close relationship with your family. But you can be family, but not friends. Well, what makes it so stinking hard? Well, sin makes it hard. Look at Genesis 3. You know, the first sin caused man to break friendship with God. Verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree, which I... You did something I told you not to do. You've sinned against me. Thou shalt not eat it. Cursed be the ground. He goes on to give him the curse. You broke that friendship, buddy. Now, this isn't hard to think. I mean, because you see the same thing. When Adam sinned, he also broke friendship with his wife. Look at verse 16, and it says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. There's a reason why you're not friends with the people you used to go to high school with, or the friends that you ran with when you were a little kid. If you've got a friend from high school, praise the Lord. But if you're in here today, teenager, you probably won't be standing. The people you went to high school with, it'll be rare if they're standing at your wedding altar. Because as we grow, we meet new people, those friendships die because we don't keep up with it. And so, but a lot of times these friendships break. You were friends, you were besties when you were 7 and 8. But when you turn 14 and the competition over the opposite sex shows up, we start to sin against each other. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we betray. That's the reason why many of you aren't friends with your... I mean, you've got them on Facebook and, oh yeah, I used to go to high school with her or him or whatever, but you guys aren't like tight writing each other letters that just express your soul. Why? Because you remember the time they gave you a swirly, or you remember the time they jumped ahead of you in line and got this or that, or got the girl or the boy to go out with them instead of you, and you were thinking about it and they knew it and they jumped in and they knew it. And that's why so many times friendship's hard. Because sin makes it hard to put ourselves out there and take off the mask and be genuine. Have you ever had a friendship where you felt like you were the majority shareholder? Where you're the one that you're more friends with them than they obviously are with you? That's kind of a betrayal. You feel like, wait a minute, I have put myself out there and you've not reciprocated. If you can hook your heart onto that emotion for just a second, that memory for just a second, I wonder if that's how God feels about us. Because God put himself out there. God reached out and said, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 or verse 9, it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's like, I'm putting myself out there. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he put himself out there. Christ died for us, the Bible says. Now, in our story here in Genesis 3, God takes the initiative to reconcile the friendship. Here in Genesis 3 and verse 21, if you're reading along, and unto Adam and also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. This was an animal sacrifice. He said, no, I want you right with me. I want your sin covered. We need to talk. I want to have this fellowship. See, friendship is that connective bond. But the interaction you have with someone is called fellowship. And so God also initiates this contact with a man named Abraham. Take your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12. Now, the Lord had said, this is an account of something that's already happened. Look at it. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I'll show thee, and I'll make of thee a great nation. And he goes on to give them the Abrahamic covenant. But the thing is, God put himself out there. Now, stop for a second. A covenant is not a contract. A contract limits your liability. It defines your responsibility and says, I only have to go to here. The rest is yours. A covenant is when I take responsibility for myself regardless of you. I am putting myself out there. And it's not attached to your performance. So even if you don't perform like I think you should, I'm still out there with you. That's why marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. I'm taking full responsibility. Regardless of how the other person behaves, I'm in it. I'm all in. And that's what God did to Abraham. Abraham said, you do this. Listen, believe me. And in Genesis, look at Genesis 15 and verse 6. A beautiful verse says, and he believed. And Abraham believed in the Lord. He took God. See, time out. When the word faith comes up, everybody starts to wig out because they think, well, that's just some goofy. No, faith is your confidence level. How confident are you that somebody's going to take care of something you loaned them? Well, that's based on their character and their promises. right? You loan them your car, you're doing that based on their perceived character, their history, on how they've behaved in the past, and the promise they've made, and your confidence in them following through, right? So by faith, Abraham believed God. He took God at his word. And in verse 6 it says, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So God initiated that friendship. And in James chapter 2 and verse 23, the Bible refers to Abraham as the friend of God. The friend of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7 also refers to Abraham as the friend of God. God initiated fellowship and friendship with a guy named Moses. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called out to him from the burning bush and said, Moses. And he said, here I am. And God goes on to make him promises. And God initiated that. God wants you to be his friend. David, the King David, who wrote the majority of the book of Psalms, spent a lot of time out in the field with his Lord, just talking to God. And he wrote the book of Psalms, and that is a response from God to him, to his heart, to pen and parchment. And he had a heart after God, like God, he had a man after my own heart is how God referred to him. Now, God wants to bring you into friendship. Now, it starts by knowing the Lord as your Savior. But the Bible says that no man can come to me except the Father draw him. That's John 6:44. If you're taking notes. Now, the thing is, you say, no, I was looking for God. No, that was the Lord pulling on you. That was the Holy Spirit. Woo. We don't use the word woo anymore, do we? Wooing. What's the modern term you teenagers use? Yeah, you don't have a synonym. Okay, it means that it's right. He's kind of going, come on, I'm pulling you. I want you, I'm reaching out. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draw. And you're like, no, I was looking. No, God already found you. He was looking for you. He was on your trail and he was pulling you in. You know, Jesus is the greatest friend man ever had. It says in Luke 19:10, for I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. I am making the first step. I am stepping toward you. Take your Bible, go to the Gospel of John. Now it's to the right of dead center. You got Matthew, you got Mark, you got Luke, you got John. Just before the book of Acts and Romans, find John 15. John 15 and verse 13. I want you to see what this says. It's so cool. John 15 and verse 13. Look what it says here. Greater love hath no man than this. There's no greater love ever displayed on the planet. Look at this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's why Jesus came. I have come to seek and to save that which was lost, to give my life a ransom. Nobody takes my life to lay it down. These are the things Jesus said about what he was coming to do. Look at verse 14. Ye are my friends. Have you ever kind of looked at your relationship with God that way and think, God thinks I am his friend? Have you ever had somebody walk, you know, that treat you like, you know, they come up to you and you're like, whoa, dude, you're coming on a little strong here. Because they think you're best buds when you know different. Is that how you think of it? When I talk about God looking at you as an individual and says, that's my friend. That right there, that's my friend. I mean, if God were to pull Gabriel and Michael and the rest of the angels and go, hey, that's my friend right there. Have you met my friend? What runs through your mind at that point? That God would look at you and say, that's my friend. Are you God's friend? Well, first off, are you in the family? Are you in the family? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you understand that we had a problem we couldn't fix? God didn't say, y'all come to me. No. God says, you can't, so I will. I'll come to you where you are. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Put your name there. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, we're sinners, all of us. Me, I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, the Bible says that I have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of my sin is death, that I deserve to be separated from God. But that verse, that's Romans 6:23, has a comma in it, and it says, but the gift of God the gift from my friend is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you ever think of yourself as God's friend? Or do you think of God as your friend? Well, like I said, how do I become God's friend? Number one, join the family. Repent of your sin. The Bible means to turn. That repent's an old word nobody uses because it's fallen out of favor because everybody's afraid of it. But what it means is to turn from your sin unto God and just admit it. Own it. I'm a sinner. And believe the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And then I met a man on the plane to Texarkana last month when I was traveling, and he texted me last night and he said, I'm talking to somebody. How should they pray? His name's Anthony. He said, How should I lead somebody to pray to receive Christ as their Savior? And I said, tell them. The same thing that you did, that you shared with me on the plane. You just prayed and said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve to go to hell, but I believe that your son died for me and rose again. I'm trusting in what he did, his blood to save me. Please forgive me. I believe. Thank you. And that's it. It's not that hard. Just repent. And then number two, believe what he said. Believe what God said. That's all Abraham did, was believe what God said. Jesus said, now we were in John 15 there in verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command. How's your friendship with God today? If we were to take one of those silly polls that you find online about, you know, what is friendship and or who's your best friend and things like that, or I've seen polls where people on Facebook will say, rate our friendship. I don't think you want to have that information, huh? But if you were to take a second and rate your friendship with God, where would it fall on a scale of 1 to 10? And what is it that God would say? Well, let me relieve you of one burden. God would look down at you and say, 10. Because regardless of your behavior, regardless of whether you like me or not, I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to do you good if you'll just trust me and believe me. Now, the interaction between us and God is called fellowship. And you say to yourself, well, you know, me and God, we're not really on speaking terms. Do you realize there are just nine words that fixes every relationship on the planet? Think about the relationships you have with people, whether it's your friends, your girlfriend or boyfriend, or whether it's your coworkers or neighbors or your family or your parents or your siblings. There are nine words that fix everything. Do you know what they are? Huh? Want me to tell? Okay, all right, I'll tell you. I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Now, if you weren't writing that down, let me get over here. Okay. Make sure everybody can see this. Okay. I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Now, the problem is you're choking right now. Well, you don't know what they did to me. I can't do that. I'm not double jointed like that. How do you do that? I don't know how you do that. But anyway, you don't know what they did to me. Yeah, but I know what they did to Jesus. I know what my sin did to Jesus. My Jesus went to the cross for me. That's my Jesus. They ripped a beard from his face because of my sin. They put a cat of nine tails across his back until the blood ran down on the pavement everywhere because of me. That's me. I don't know about y'all, but that was, look, bro, let me tell you something. It was me. Yeah, it's easy to stand up here and go, y'all a bunch of sinners. It's hard to look in the mirror and go, that's the number one sinner on the planet right there. Because he's the one who causes me the greatest problems. It's the guy I'm looking at every morning when I shave. Now you think about it. You can fix your relationship with God with nine simple words. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And God's response is, I've already forgiven. At Calvary. See, there's a cross here on the front of this thing. And the cross symbolizes your relationship with God vertically. You have a relationship with God, a friendship with God. But the horizontal bar also represents the relationships we have around us. And it's impossible to be right vertically with God and be wrong if you're wrong with everyone around you. Brother Pedro shared a wonderful quote with me this morning. If there's a wall between me and my brother, there is a ceiling between me and my God. Brothers and sisters, you can fix this. I was wrong. We're all sinners. None of us are perfect. Only Jesus is the one who never has to apologize. Even though you didn't mean to, even though it was like you're just doing your thing, being you, you didn't get up this morning intending to be the... But let's face it, right? We're sinners, and we have a vertical relationship, and we have a horizontal relationship. And that vertical relationship with God is that friendly interaction, that mutual affection, that enjoyment of His presence, that participation in His happiness. It's the same thing horizontally in the fact that I have interaction or fellowship, mutual affection and enjoyment of their presence and a participation in their happiness. The two are connected. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we're lying. We lie and do not the truth. And what broke that fellowship? What broke that friendship? Sin. Sin. Now, it starts between you and the Lord, right? And then our closest friendship after that is supposed to be with our spouse. And you can be married and not be friends. That's proven, right? That's proven. You can be married and not be friends. You can be blood and not be friends. But the goal is to be friends, to have that mutual affection, that connection, that enjoyment of their presence, their participation in their happiness. You can be part of God's family if you'll trust Christ as your Savior. Number two, you can be friends with God. And you can be friends with the people in your home. Now, Jesus was asked, take your Bible, you're in John, go to Matthew, it's just a couple of books toward the front. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. Look at Matthew 22. Jesus was asked, hey, what's the greatest commandment? Look at now, Matthew 22, and here we are in verse 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You know what's so cool about that? Is that's how God loves you. God has already stepped out, took the initiative, and loves you with His entire heart, with His entire soul, and with His entire mind. That's how God loves you. But then it says, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, you may know that as the golden rule. You know, do unto others, you have them do unto you. That's not what it actually says. It says you're to love them. Not just do good, you're to actually love them. You're to love your neighbor as yourself, like your own body. You don't just go out and smack your thumb with a hammer, you protect yourself, right? You would never do intentional harm unless you need some serious counseling. Normally, you just wouldn't do that. You're to love other people and not intentionally do harm. And if you figure out you are doing harm, you're to stop, right? So let me ask you a question. Who's your closest neighbor? Well, if you're married, it's the person you're married with, too. They're your closest neighbor. And your kids. How do I fix my relationship, Brother Mix? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Well, I don't want to forgive. Okay, now you're picking a fight with God. And there are no good outcomes when you pick a fight with God. There's just no good outcomes. You think of the toughest kid in your school. Picking on him is dumb. Right? Dumb. Picking on God is even far worse. You will not win, and you will not like how it ends. So when God says, look, you need to forgive them just like I forgave you, I wiped the slate clean and have forgotten about it. You know, Jesus is intimately familiar with betrayal. Some of you have been betrayed. Some of you people in here have had relationships where somebody else has stomped you. Jesus, it says of Jesus in the Old Testament, my own familiar friend that has ate bread at my table has lifted up his heel against me and stomped him. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6, and one shall say to the other, what are these wounds in thine hand? And then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed, to put yourself out there, to give everything and expect nothing, only to be smacked back, to be rebuffed, to be stomped. You know, we're to be friends, but you know, the local New Testament church is supposed to be a family of friends. This needs to be a place where you can come and be you. This is not a memorial to saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Ain't a person in here who's perfect. Ain't a perfect person in here who don't need a close friend, who doesn't need somebody they can be real with and not have judgment. Are you like that? Are you a member of the church? You come and you just give of yourself and without expectation of perfection? You know, God doesn't look down at you and expect perfection. And that's not how we're supposed to treat everyone like that. It doesn't matter what color their skin or where they come from. We're not to expect perfection. We're to love them unconditionally without a performance review at the end of the day. That's friendship. That's connection. That's what God wants with you. That's what we need to have here. But why doesn't it not work? Why is it we only have maybe one close friend? Because of sin. If there is a wall between me and my brother, then there's a ceiling between me and my God. And the wall comes down when I repent and ask for forgiveness. Why does any of this matter, preacher? What do you make such a big deal out of this? Well, turn to Matthew 25. I'm glad you asked. Look at this. Matthew 25. I don't know if you realize this or not. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells us that he takes our treatment of other people personally. How we treat other people, it's like we're treating Christ the same way. He takes it personally. Here in Matthew 25 and verse 33, I'll read for the sake of time. And it's verse 34, then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, now listen to this, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. In the next verse he says, then shall he say to those on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. Look at this. And ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, hey, whoa, time out. Lord, when did that happen? When did we see thee hungered or thirst or stranger or naked or sick? Are you catching on? Verse 45. Then shall he answer and say, verily I say unto you, and as much as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Do you understand? We're not to forgive because the other person deserves it. We're to forgive because Jesus deserves it. Think of all the things he forgave us for. And if you're like me, he knew how sinful you would be when he saved you. He knew how sinful I'd be when he saved me. So my brothers and sisters, do you understand? Jesus is worthy of it. So forgive. Forgive. Because Jesus is worthy of it. You know, how do I fix my relationships? Well, the Bible says that we're to take responsibility. We're not to wait for others. We are to just go ahead. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, for a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. That means he must put himself out there. He must go ahead and take the initiative and put yourself out there. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 24, we're supposed to do this even in times of trouble and distress. Matthew 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. how do I fix my friendships? I mean, I was really tight with this person, and man, just things have fallen apart. I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. That works every time. Because then you and God are okay. See, if you've got a problem between you and God, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. That makes us clean of all unrighteousness. I'm sorry, Lord. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And at that moment, based on the word of God, you and God are okay. You and God are right with each other. You're clean. Not cleaner, clean. It says all unrighteousness. That means God didn't skip some. God didn't skip some, right? Now think about this. Think about this. That works with your neighbor. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And at that moment, you and God are okay, and you and your friend are okay. See, we need a friend like Jesus because of our past, because we're sinners. We're born sinners. We commit sin, continue to sin. And the Bible says, that God hath commended his love, displayed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, not after we cleaned up, but yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need Christ because of our present. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That means right now today, Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father and intercedes for us when we sin. When we blow it, and you will. If you're not sure you're a sinner, be sure and turn to the person next to you on either side and they'll clear it up for you. Right? So what you do is you recognize I need Jesus not because of my past, but I need Jesus because of my present. And you know what is so cool? Jesus said that we need him as our friend because of our future. He said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and come, prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. And in Luke chapter 22 and verse 28, it says we will sit at his table for eternity. You're going to be feasting at God's table, not as a slave, but as a son or a daughter, as his friend. That's what it's going to be like. So let me ask you a question. Are you in the family? Huh? Have you trusted the Lord? This could be your day. If you died today and you're not sure heaven's your home, God don't want your money. God don't want your stuff. God don't want anything. God's already taken responsibility and said, I love you. And he showed it at the cross. And he said, I'm offering it. All you got to do is take me at my word and believe. Repent and believe. You're in the family? That's good. But are you friends with God? Are you friends? Because I think he looks down at you and goes, that's my friend. But can you honestly say, yeah, he's my friend? Can you look at the people on either side of you, in front of you, in back of you? Maybe let the empty seat in the pew represent somebody that you know that's in your life that you may be blood with or family with, but you're not friends with. Are you ready to have more than just one friend? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It's our responsibility to reciprocate. It's our responsibility to answer the initiative of God. This is what we call the invitation time of the service. We're not going to do anything scary. But you know, if you want to know for sure heaven's your home, that you're a child of God, I'd like an opportunity to pray with you. I won't embarrass you. I'll just pray with you and show you from the Bible how to trust Christ and know that you know that you know you're born again. But I think the majority of the people I'm looking at here today already know the Lord as their Savior. But are you God's friend? 9 little words, and you and God will be right. Maybe you need to see, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe today you need to grab somebody by the hand, a spouse, a friend, a child, or parent. And you need to go say 9 little words and pray with them and be right with them. Our Heavenly Father, I love you. In the next few moments, as Ms. Mix plays and sings, I ask God you would touch every heart and every soul. I ask God today if there's one here that's lost, that's not, they don't know that this is real. I ask God you'd speak to them, you'd stir them, you'd convince them and convict them of their sin. And for us, your children, God, convict us of our sin. Show us, God, where we need to restore our relationship with the people in our life, and how much more our relationship and fellowship, friendship with you. Speak, oh God, and we will pray. We will respond. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As she plays and sings, the altar is open. I'm here to pray with you. Whatever your need is.
I see shattered. You see whole. I see broken. But you see beautiful. And you're helping me to believe. You're restoring me peace by
whatever
peace.
Your need is, relationships, finances, health. Come, let's go to the Lord together. I'm here. I'll pray with you.
That
you don't have to do this alone.
Worthy.
You don't have to do this life alone.
You wash me in mercy.
I
am clean.
You're clean. If you'll just speak to the Lord, you'll be clean.
Too dirty.
You've not gone too far.
That you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. What was dead now lives.
You think that part of your life is irretrievable? No. There's nothing impossible with God. I don't know that I can do that, Brother Mix. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I just don't have what it takes. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can have back that which was lost and broken. You can bring back that which is driven off. You can build back that which was broke.
There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty.
Nothing. Nothing too dirty.
That you can't make worthy.
Nothing too far gone. Nothing too broke down,
wash me in
too separated,
mercy.
Too shredded, to be restored.
I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice.
It is the blood of Christ that cleanses
your
us.
Your blood flowed red.
Past, present, and future.
White. My dirty
God wants to be your friend. Will you respond?
Clean.
Our Father and our God, we love you. And I'm thankful, Father, that you don't delete our friend requests. I'm thankful, Father, that you always respond because you initiated it. And then, Father, as we respond to you, you respond again. Father, bless us now. Thank you for all you've done today and all you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Well, welcome. Welcome. I want to say welcome to our visitors. Today we have Brother Kyle and Stacy Field coming. They're going to join by baptism. And brother, have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior?
I have.
I need a vote from the Lord. All excited about that? Say amen.
Amen.
Sister, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? All excited about that, say amen.
Amen.
They'll be baptized next week. And if you're interested in baptism or knowing more about anything, my wife and I do an in-home Bible study. We'd be happy to sit at your kitchen table and just talk to you about the Lord and walk through your Bible. If you see a friend here, shake hands, listen, friendly, or shake an elbow or bump fist or whatever you're doing, and friendliness starts with you. Pastor Pedro has a quick announcement, and then we're heading downstairs.
Okay, all right. So as far as getting downstairs, if you're staying with us to participate in the luau, we want to give you some instructions, okay, so we don't have mass hysteria happening here, okay? All right, so if you're visiting with us specifically today for the first time, or you're visiting as part as you've been invited by someone from First Baptist Church, we want you all, if you have children, we want you all to leave now. Now, to go pick up your children, to dismiss your children from the junior church workers, and find your way to your seat. All the tables are marked. Whomever invited you, their name, their last name is on that table. So go and find your children and go to your table. Pastor.
And if nobody invited you, you're just here for the first time, you're sitting at my table.
Amen. If no one invited you and you're here by chance, then you're welcome to come and join us downstairs and sit with Pastor at his table. So if you have children, I ask that crowd go ahead and dismiss now. If you came with someone that has children, then you go ahead and be dismissed now. And let's wait just a few minutes. I'll give some announcements while they're heading out. There will be a summer camp meeting tonight following the evening service. All right. And so that'll be after the evening service this evening.